10 of the Heidelberg Catechism. Let's read that together. It can be found on page 525 of our Book of Praise. Lord's Day 10. What do you understand by the providence of God? God's providence is His almighty and ever-present power, whereby, as with His hand, He still upholds heaven and earth and all creatures, and so governs them, that leaf and blade, rain and drought, fruitful and barren years, food and drink, health and sickness, riches and poverty, indeed all things come to us not by chance, but by His fatherly hand. What does it benefit us to know that God has created all things and still upholds them by His providence? We can be patient in adversity, thankful in prosperity, and with a view to the future, we can have a firm confidence in our faithful God and Father that no creature shall separate us from His love. For all creatures are so completely in His hand that without His will they cannot so much as move. So far from our confession. Dear brothers and sisters, on January 28th, the doomsday clock was updated to 89 seconds to midnight. The doomsday clock is set every year by the Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists and is recognized as an indicator of how vulnerable the world is to global catastrophe caused by man-made technologies. According to those responsible for it, humanity has edged ever closer to catastrophe. In fact, they say that we are now closer to catastrophe than we have ever been. So according to this organization, things are not looking good for us. Now the technologies that they are concerned about include nuclear technology, AI, clean energy in connection with climate change, and those related to biological threats. In relation to nuclear risk, they note the increased tension and threat by Russia after testing a nuclear-capable weapon. In relation to climate change, they note the extreme weather that has been happening over the last year and say that clean energy technology is not developing fast enough. In relation to AI, they worry about the fact that it could make it easier for countries and terrorists to develop nuclear and biological warfare capabilities. They note the worrying development of using AI in military targeting. They also note the fact that AI makes it much easier to create and spread believable lies, which can then be used to harm public discussion on important topics. In relation to biological threats, they not only worry about the development of biological weapons, but they also worry about the latest avian flu that has been spreading unusually quickly. And there's much more they're worried about. So, brothers and sisters, how are we to react to this news? We are aware of most, if not all, of these things that they're worrying about. These things have not happened in secret. The news has made sure that we're aware of these things. We may even have discussed these topics ourselves. Do we need to be afraid of the future of humanity? Well, brothers and sisters, we do not. It is to our comfort that our Almighty God upholds and governs all creation. We'll see two things. First, creation is not an autopilot. And secondly, creation is governed for our salvation. Our Almighty God upholds and governs all of creation. And creation is not an autopilot. Now, I'm sure that we've all heard of autopilot. It's a feature that many airplanes have, and She allows the pilot to tell the plane where to go and then let go of the controls and do other things without manually flying the plane. It is technology that is increasingly coming into cars as well. Think, for example, of Tesla's autopilot. Now, that the thinking exists that creation is also on autopilot. The thinking is quite common in the world around us, where people believe that things just happen by chance and that things are slowly evolving to become better. The sun, the moon, the stars, they follow their orbits. The seasons follow one another. Animals do what animals are naturally inclined to do, and people do what they want to do. And what will be, will be. And they deny that there is any outside influence. All things happen by chance. It's all luck, whether good or bad. And with this belief, we as mankind are the only ones capable of making our own decisions, and so the only ones who can try to do anything in the present to affect the future of the universe. Now, closely linked to this sort of idea is the clockwork theory of creation. It's based on the idea of a mechanical clock that you can wind up, and once it is wound up, it'll operate as designed without someone needing to continually make sure that it's running. The idea then is that God created all things, put all the laws of nature into place, wound up the clock as such, and then let things run and left it to its own devices. He is not actively involved in the day-to-day running of creation. He's busy doing other things. And if this were the case, we would have reason to worry. For we know that evil people will manipulate organizations, governments, and the whole world if they can do it in order to line their own pockets or hurt people for their own pleasure or for their own gain of power. Then we would have to have a self-preservation mindset. For if we're not caring for ourselves or for the future generations, then no one will. Now, do not get me wrong, we do have the duty to care for creation. Absolutely. That's part of the cultural mandate that God gave us in the Garden of Eden. But if God were not involved in actively upholding and governing all of creation, it would all come down to our efforts. And if it all came down to our efforts, the efforts of weak and sinful man, then things will go wrong in the future. Even catastrophically wrong. And then there's reason to worry. But God teaches us in His Word that He is in complete control of all creation. He tells us that He is the one who upholds creation. The only reason that creation continues to exist is because God is actively busy keeping it in existence. If He turned away from His creation, then we would be in trouble. For without Him, everything would fall apart. We sang from Psalm 104, and there we read, "When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground." Life and death of people, animals, and plants are completely in God's hands. But God is more than just make creation continue to exist. He also governs all creation. He teaches us that there is no such thing as chance, not even when we're playing a game. He tells us in Proverbs that the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. And that means that when we're playing a game of Monopoly, it is God who decides what we'll roll. It's He that decides whether you'll land on free parking or on a hotel on either side and become bankrupt. That's His involvement in creation. As we also confess in Lord's Day 1, without the will of my Heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head. God has complete control over what happens in His creation. We read from the prophecy of Habakkuk. He was a prophet who was worried about the future of God's people because the people were unrighteous. And so he brought a complaint to God about the people. And so God revealed to him that He would send enemies to punish them. But then Habakkuk struggled with the fact that wicked nations would then come and punish God's people. People even more wicked than His people. And then God told him that He would punish those nations as well. So in the end, Habakkuk has learned to leave the future in God's hands and to trust in His mercy, even as He brings hard times to His covenant people. As a part of his final prayer, where he leaves the future into God's hands, Habakkuk refers to God's work of the past. He speaks about creation, where God stood and measured the earth and put the everlasting mountains in their place, never to be moved. Why worry about what man may do when we have a God who placed the mountains? Man cannot move mountains, but our God can do whatever He pleases. Habakkuk acknowledges God's power when he speaks about God appearing on Mount Paran. This refers to God's appearance to His people at Sinai, where the mountains shook at His presence, where the thunder crashed, the lightning flashed, and smoke billowed up from the mountain. Our God is a mighty God. He recalls the time when God caused the sun and the moon to stand still in their place in the days of Joshua. Who was able to make the sun and the moon stand still? It goes against all the laws of nature. It should not be possible. And yet God has so much authority over creation that He is able to make it happen. Habakkuk also speaks about the pestilence and plagues that followed God's heels. This were brought to remember the 10 plagues that the Lord brought upon Egypt. Again, supernatural events that proved that God was in control of creation. God was able to turn the water of the great Nile River into blood. He was able to call up frogs, gnats, flies, and locusts and in such number that they covered the entire land. And He was also able to command them to stay out of the land of Goshen when He wished. The Lord is the one who was able to bring diseases upon animals and boils upon both the Egyptians and their animals. He was able to control the weather so that a great hailstorm destroyed all of the Egyptians' crops and shattered their trees. He was able to cause the sun to stop shining only in Egypt. Imagine that. Pitch blackness in Egypt while there's light everywhere around. God was able to selectively cause all the firstborn of the Egyptians to die in one night. Habakkuk also speaks about Cushan and Midian in affliction before the Lord. This he remembers God's control even during the time of the judges. It was a hard time for God's people. God sent enemies against His people. But God was also the one who decided when their oppressive rule would stop. Habakkuk refers to other events as well, but the sum of the matter is that he confesses that God is in complete control of creation. His power is almighty. Nothing can stand in the way of His plans. And those who try to stop His plans, the enemy, will be crushed. And that, brothers and sisters, means that whatever will happen in the future has already been decided by God. In fact, even Satan and his kingdom are under God's control. Think back to the beginning of the book of Job, where Satan had to get permission to hurt Job. And then God set limits as to what Satan could do. Think back to the rule of Ahab, where God allowed one of the demons to be a lying spirit in the mouth of the prophet so that Ahab would go into battle and be killed. The demon had to get permission from the Lord. Satan and his kingdom cannot do a thing against us without the Lord's permission. We live in a time where there is much political turmoil. Close to home, many are worried about what Mr. Trump will do. The tariff wars between the U.S. and Canada have started, and many wonder how will it affect our businesses? How will it affect the prices of grocery, our budget? At the same time, the Liberals are looking for a new leader, and Mr. Ford has called an election in Ontario. Things are changing, and who knows whether it will be for the better or for the worse. Further afield, many worry about whether Russia will start to use nuclear weapons. And these things only touch the surface of all the things that are happening in the world. But we know that every political change and the start and result of every war is in the Lord's hands. As Paul told the Athenians, He made from one man every nation of mankind to live in all the face of the earth, having determined their allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place. No matter how much mankind might think that we are in control, the decision is in God's hands. And we can be absolutely confident of that. And so we don't have to worry. In fact, because the Almighty God is our Heavenly Father through Christ, we can look to our future with absolute certainty that all will be well for us. And we'll look at that next. Brothers and sisters, creation is governed for our salvation. If creation is not an autopilot, then God is actively steering it. And our comfort, and our catechism says it in such a comforting way, as with His hand. This is a picture of our Heavenly Father reaching down and massaging this part of creation and moving this person and then adjusting the weather here, etc. God's involvement in creation is not cold or impersonal. He is personally involved in every aspect of creation as our Heavenly Father. There's love there. And if God is reaching down and purposely controlling creation, then He has a purpose for His actions. His actions are not like a toddler randomly adjusting things on a toy with knobs and levers. No, God is not playing with the earth. He's governing the earth with a specific purpose in mind. And that purpose is our salvation. Habakkuk confesses this in his prayer. You went out for the salvation of your people, for the salvation of your anointed. But you might ask, how is God controlling the weather or the path of a deer through the bush connected to our salvation? And there are answers to this question. First, His ways are so much greater than ours that we are unable to understand the purpose of everything that He does. Just like a baby might see us pushing the buttons and moving levers on a device or on a vehicle and have absolutely no idea what we're doing. It's beyond their capability to understand. Every once in a while, they might get an idea of what you're doing, but they won't get the full picture. God's plan of salvation is likewise beyond our ability to fully understand. The second answer that we can give is that God continues to preserve the earth while He is busy working out His plan of salvation. all those whom he has given to Christ have not yet been born or have not yet heard his voice. So day and night, summer and winter, continue until that time has come. And how do we know this? Because that is what he has revealed to us in Scripture. Throughout Scripture, we read his plan of salvation. From the initial promise in the Garden of Eden, of enmity between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman, through him choosing Abraham as the father of a special people, through all of his interactions with that people, sending nations to shape his people, and then punishing those nations for their evil intent, and all the while sending prophets to his people with more clues as to his plan of salvation, more revelations of the Messiah. And finally, he revealed the source of our salvation when he sent his own Son to earth to suffer and die in our place. Christ Jesus, whom the entire Old Testament was talking about, showed that all 4,000 years or so of history leading up to his time was always governed to lead to him and to his work of salvation for us. He fulfilled prophecies that were hundreds and even thousands of years old. Then he revealed that the purpose of the end times, the last 2,000 years that have gone by, and the time that whatever time may yet follow, so that the good news of his salvation can go out to the ends of the world, so that every person whom the Father has given him can hear his voice and come to him. And he revealed that when this work is done, then this creation will also come to its end. It will be renewed so he can make it suitable for him and us to live on it together in eternal joy. And this, brothers and sisters, means that we are loved by God. The one who decides what will happen every moment of every day is controlling all things for our good. His goal is our salvation. He spent thousands of years controlling history so it would happen exactly as he planned. At the same time, he patiently bore the sins of millions of people against him. All that God has done and suffered since the fall into sin has not been pleasant for him. He hates sin with a passion and cannot stand it. Sin must be punished. And yet, for thousands of years, he patiently bore with our sins so that he could save us. He loves his Son with a love so great that we cannot imagine it. And yet he gave up his beloved Son to pay for our sins. Our loving God is our loving Father, carefully governing all of creation for our salvation. And since he is the Almighty God, nothing can separate us from his love. Our catechism refers to the beautiful passage in Romans 8, where Paul teaches us, "For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." There is not a thing in creation that can separate us from God's love. For all creatures are so completely in his hand that without his will, they cannot so much as move. And this, brothers and sisters, means that we don't have to worry about the future. Whatever will happen in the future, whether wars break out, even nuclear war, whatever governments may rise up or fall, or whatever man may do using AI or any new technology, whatever diseases might spread throughout the world, our future is secure. God has set us aside for himself, And he is crafting all of history towards our salvation. This means that we can set our focus not on self-preservation, but on our Father's kingdom. Christ himself told us not to worry about the future, not to worry about what we'll eat or where or where we'll live, but to focus on his kingdom. And he promised that his Father will provide us with everything that we need. After all, our Lord said, consider the ravens, right, the birds. They neither sow nor reap, they neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Our God cares for the birds. And we are so much more valuable to him than the birds. So valuable that he gave up his son for us. And so we can be sure that he will care for us in the future. Now, this doesn't mean that everything will be pleasant for us. Habakkuk prophesied of the destruction of Judah by the hand of the Babylonians. And when he looks back at all that God had done in the past and then at the trouble that God said he would send to his own people, he says, I hear and my body trembles. My lips quiver at the sound. Rottenness enters my bones. My legs tremble beneath me. He wasn't looking forward to that. And we are in a similar situation. God has not warned us about an enemy nation who will invade. But Jesus has given us the warning that in the last days it will be very hard for the church. And so we know without a doubt that at some point difficult times will come for the church. We, our children or our grandchildren, will suffer greatly for the faith. And yet we know that our Savior also promised that those days would be shortened. Why? For the sake of his people. He said, if those days had not been cut short, no human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. Salvation will come. And so while Habakkuk doesn't look forward to what will come upon God's people, he also says, yet I will quietly wait for the day of trouble to come upon the people who invade us. He trusts that the Lord will bring vengeance on his enemy, that he will protect his own. He will be patient in adversity. And we likewise can be patient in adversity. We can be patient when we see our health failing or the health of our loved one. We know that things are just going to get worse for us. We know that difficulties will only increase. And yet we know that our Heavenly Father will provide. He loves us. And we have marriage problems. And we know that it will be a long road ahead to fix things. We can be patient. We know God's plan for our salvation. We know that he will provide for us even in the hard times. At the same time, brothers and sisters, we can also be extremely thankful in times of prosperity. When life is going well and there's no great burdens, it doesn't come to us by chance, but is a gracious gift from our Heavenly Father. We know that we are sinners. We do not deserve an easy life. In fact, we deserve the opposite. We deserve God's wrath, hell. And so when he blesses us, when we have what's called a normal life without any great difficulties, let our praises ring out to our Lord. Acknowledge his gracious love towards us. And if our life is one of prosperity, one of good health and riches, then let our praises ring even louder. Let us acknowledge that these things do not come to us by chance, but by the hands of our Heavenly Father. Brothers and sisters, there's much anxiety in the world around us about the destruction of the world. That's why we hear so much about climate change, about the dangers of AI, and about nuclear war, COVID, the avian flu, etc. And yes, we may suffer because of these things, even terribly. But we know that whatever happens in the future has been decided by our Heavenly Father who loves us. And He'll be there for us to lead us to salvation. We know so because of Christ, our Savior. And so we can confess with Habakkuk, though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. This is a description of no food at all in Israel. Famine. Yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. God will care for us. And we can rejoice in that, brothers and sisters. Amen.